A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
We happy crew, we joyfully join the fray. No daring do, we wouldn't pursue, but thinking it through, that isn't the dragon way.
Lunch in a ducal palace is a simple affair, merely three courses of meats, cheeses, and a fine fish broth, frugal by the expectations of most landed gentry, and yet a rare treat for the dragon friends, newly accustomed as they are to the benefits of their station. You eat quickly, each regaining 2 hit dice worth of health points.
Woo, and I then knows.
Dinner is finished when a small...
By the way, Banknote was like fucking on death's door this whole time and nobody did anything.
Yeah.
Wait, did you get... But are you level 2 now and do you get more hit points?
Yeah, he's rested because you've all had lunch.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
A small bell tinkles as a door opens, revealing the return of one LaCroix Pomplemousse.
Hello, my most jukey jukes. So good to see you have rested. Did you enjoy the lunch?
Very much so.
Wonderful. It's a very much from you.
Adequate
from you.
Fish soup is kind of a bit of a gross.
Okay, yeah, I will make a little mental note of that to not serve Monsieur fish soup anymore. And for you, Mr. McNaught.
LaCroix, you've outdone yourself again. Perfect as always. I love what you do with the food. Can I just say, this tapestry has caught fire?
Okay.
That is so wonderful and puzzling to hear.
LaCroix, first order of dukey business. I wish Crawford to be appointed new fire captain of the city. And he shall fill up his beak with water and pour it over the city until the fire goes out.
I'm immensely unqualified.
With the greatest of respect... available to me currently.
Usually you say that before you give me backhanded compliment, but go on.
You are so good.
Yes.
At so many things.
Big time.
But I just wonder your one-third of a duke, if given yesterday's events where you almost burnt down the money quarter, giving...
Excuse me?
Pardon?
When we weren't even there.
No.
That wasn't us.
Certainly I wasn't.
Yeah. I wasn't there.
Ah, Bobby Pancakes, Mr. Pancakes, the tiny man with the pancake. I did not see you come in.
Look, as you wish, and I will make the appropriate hat for the bird.
Because the bird has big beak.
Yeah, no,
it's filled with water. Yeah. Better than any other bird becoming fire captain, that for sure.
Nobody's disputing the quality of the bird.
It is an, you say, an impossibility, but I will do this, for that is my job, to do these impossibilities as your flights of fancy do take you. And I have done such a wonder, let me tell you, downstairs in the basement that you would not believe.
All day, all night, he has been ranting.
Not all day, all night, it is the same day.
Well, me...
Figure of speech.
Wow, that internal monologue, I just want you to know, is really outside. We can hear everything you're saying.
I'm sorry, I'm very tired. He has been painting, creating nonstop, calling for more inks and canvases. His hunger for such things cannot be abated. This is not, strictly speaking, my job, so I was wondering.
This is true. A day ago, I was the Duke, and it was fine.
It's so funny how that happens.
LaCroix! Look, with the permission of the Dukes, I would like you to set up a meeting with the finest art dealer in the entire town of Daggerford. Bring them to us now, and we will show them the painting and get a good pretty penny for it.
The finest art dealer of a town of 500 of mostly farmers and kind of caravan guards.
Yes.
Well, then go to Waterdeep, man, and get a bigger art dealer.
It's a three... It is a three-day ride, but if you request it, I will go to Waterdeep and find you an art dealer returning in 6 days' time. Is that what you request?
But if you would prefer, I can find somebody appropriate.
But I am happy to go.
Wait.
No, if you leave now, and then by the time you come back, the world will be over or over the next day. It'll be one of those two things. So no, send one of your underlings, someone less, like a stable boy or a stable girl, someone who's stable.
There must be somebody. There must be somebody in all of Daggerford who can appraise art and maybe.
They are just not very good.
Yeah, and also all their houses are burning down.
That's
right
true.
Now.
That's true. The money quarter is.
I will send Buttonsley, the stable boy.
Buttonsley. Oh, cool.
It is 6 days return trip. You will not see him this season. But he goes.
LaCroix, me wish you not be distracted from the main task at hand, finding a hat for the pelican.
Of course.
Come with me down to the basement and I will show you the wonders that I have wrought with such limited budget.
Please.
Okay. So as we wander down, Banknote's going to strike up a conversation with Crawford the pelican.
Why did you bring him back?
I like it. Crawford, as the fire chief. Could you tell me if any other civilians have died or perished in the fire?
I'll tell you a fact. It's a good thing that we've got access to the river. Otherwise, people would keep dying. As it is, I've got plenty of water, and it keeps them all alive.
Interesting.
Very well done, Crawford. Thank you for your service to this city.
I'm an unnecessary addition to this story.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
I reckon give him a medal.
You want a medal?
Yes, I would like a medal very much.
Okay. LaCroix?
Okay. Yes?
You know how you fought
him? I overheard I will get a medal for the bird.
Thank you.
Okay, Dragon Huddle.
Wait, no, just one quick
How
thing.
Many sub-meetings are we going to have?
Very quickly, Crawford. Did you say you were putting water on that fire to put it out?
Yes.
From the river? Because my understanding... Is that particular alchemic fire sort of And did you say that there's a river that people are jumping into?
I have just remembered 6 more people died when we started using the water.
Thank
it you. Used up the rest of the alchemical fire from the desk. But I guess that's 90 experience points, whatever that is.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, Dragon Huddle.
Oh, Dragon Huddle. I was just going to say...
It's a very short walk.
You know, obviously we just pull a little away from Banknote. Yeah. Obviously, there's a vacancy in the Dragon Friends. And, you know, I like Banknote, but this Crawford... He's
he got
real
he's quality. Got wow. There's something about him. Me just want to hear from him more. Yeah, you know right. what I mean?
It is a dead heat for me.
Yeah.
Dead heat.
Yeah, obviously we got to solve this end of the world thing, but next on agenda, definitely. Who's going to fill that spot? Maybe a talent quest of some description? Oh. Maybe we make them do an obstacle course or solve a riddle, something similar like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Personal essay.
Personal essay. Love that.
A variety of tasks. Okay, cool.
Cool.
But by that time, you have made your way down into the basement. And LaCroix has worked wonders, as he said. 3 squalid cells. One of them has been turned into quite a modest but comfortable, cozy even, artist's studio. Digs. There is a bed. There is a little sort of folding screen with a modesty curtain. There is a little entertaining area, a small breakfast nook. And there is a small gallery space with empty canvases, paints, inks, pigments, and a stand, an easel. And hard at work with his back to you, ignoring you. The shackles now gone from his wrists. Some color in his cheeks is the figure of Thomas Smedley painting furiously and obscuring the painting that he's working on.
And he's just muttering to himself, like he's not really engaging. He's completely in the zone.
Step aside, Smedley. What have you been working on?
First of all, it's Smedley.
All right, Smedley.
Well,
he doesn't respond at all. He just keeps painting.
What if I pick him up and take 3 steps backwards?
He paints the air where.
What can we see?
Well, as you actually pick him up and move him to the side, you notice beside him another canvas cast to the ground, almost as if he was done with it. The moment he was done with it, he sort of was completely, he abandoned and threw it to the ground. What looks to be like a beautiful portrait tossed aside.
Who's on it?
And
me?
No, it is not of
Lion Of me.
Shield. No, it is also not
Would
of
it
you.
Fucking kill it to be of me?
Ben Jenkins? No, it...
Used to be on television.
Done some stuff for ABC.
Overlooked once again for the Archibald.
Yeah. No, so it is a beautiful tall canvas in the Gothic style, and it shows a wrought iron gate open and unbarred, and in the threshold of that gate, you see a figure almost elfin in their clean, harsh features, a pair of lovers in bridal...
That's not a portrait. Sorry.
A pair of lovers in bridal cloth entwined, frozen mid waltz, and with his skill as an artist, even though the image itself is frozen in time, you can see an unnatural stillness in them as if they are locked in their embrace, and beyond them you see a dark road through a dark, rocky night towards further small features in the distance.
Just to defend Dave, you weren't talking about the actual art, you were talking about
the aspect ratio.
Whether it was like upwards or sideways.
I was talking about the aspect ratio.
It's portrait as opposed to landscape.
That's correct.
So in the painting, it's as if the lovers were not moving.
Yes. And in fact, he has signed it with the name Thomas Smedley, The Lover's Gate.
Wait, isn't the Lover's Gate already open?
Though? We're done with that gate.
So what's the next one?
What's the one?
Well, show us the next one, Smedley.
There is a canvas that he's drawing, that he's been painting on as well.
Yeah, so what's that?
Can I see, Dave, from the... Before we move on, the painting with the lovers, is there anything about the landscape that I recognize from the landscape we've been traveling through?
Great question.
It's a portrait.
It's... The landscape is...
For the last time, Edith!
The landscape both seems familiar and unfamiliar. It is dark. It is night.
I hope that helps.
Okay. It's a rocky road leading across a moonlit...
Marshmallows. Peanuts. Sorry.
Dave's going to fucking snap.
Fucking come here every fucking month. Heading towards a moonlit shore and with mist wrapping around itself. And as I said, points of light in the distance. It is a trail that leads into the darkness itself. Mm-hmm. But it is not yet enough landscape for you to recognize.
Okay.
Although it pulls and stirs, particularly at you, Bobby, this landscape stirs something primordial, forgotten in your mind. Ooh. And at that point, you notice all of you as you see the sort of trapped figure of Smedley as he tries to paint in the air itself, held aloft by Filge. You can see for the first time the canvas that he is working on, and it is a rough work. Already the signs of a genius artist are unmistakable, but the picture is half formed. Instead, you can see what looks like the beginning of a chiseled and polished stone gate locked and barred with filigree symbols of white wood trees across it that seem to be on fire, smoke billowing around the edges. He has already signed it, though the work itself is not finished, as Thomas Smedley, The Burning Gate.
And what colour is the fire?
The fire seems to be normal fire.
Normal fire. Not weird green fire.
It's white wood. As I said, it's a copse of white wood trees on
burning.
Fire.
And he's still just painting in the air, by the way.
Well, if I know this area around Degerford, that seems to me like that might be the ghost light wood.
Or what about the blight wood?
Ah, dang. What about the Boner Hills? How erect are these trees?
I'm gonna put him back on his canvas in case there's anything else he wants to paint on it.
He continues to draw, and in fact, it seems like he hasn't missed a beat. So,
are there any large sheeps or anything in the horizon?
You cannot see the symbol of a merino,
damn,
average-sized or otherwise.
Well, it'd be hard to tell because it could be a normal-sized merino.
It's really close.
Really close. Or, a problem. That's what happened when you approach the big merino. You're driving and you're going, that sheep is just... We're not arriving there yet. I don't understand it. And then you go, oh, God, actually, it's an enormous sheep.
Smedley looks at you and he says,
so fucking tired.
Good masters, what do you think of poor Tom's work?
It's very nice, very good paintwork.
Do you paint from your mind's eye, or is this a place nearby?
An excellent question, Half-Man. Where does
Please just stop calling me that. Also, like, I get it.
Half-Man, sure. Poor Tom sees...
Half-Man, half-what, I guess, is what I'm saying.
He sees and he paints. He sees from the dream that was once his, the dream that was to be his final moment but was denied him. But
I bought the shoes and everything, and they wouldn't let me take them back.
These terrible secrets, these beautiful nightmares. Poor Tom sees what he can, and he transcribes to paper what he must.
What size were they?
I'm sorry, what?
The shoes.
I'm wearing them now.
What size are you? Because you're mostly indoors now.
7.5.
I'm sort of an 8. Do you think I could fit into them?
Maybe, yeah. Would you?
What kind? Of thing? Oh, those are nice.
Yeah, no, I thought I was going to be the herald.
Yeah, they're very fancy. Would you?
Yes.
The ghost light wood.
Yes.
What's the predominant species of tree?
Whitewood.
Now, if I recognize words... Whitewood was the kind in the painting, I believe, which he labeled. That's why I know it's a word. Not because I saw it.
Brilliant, Backshield. Brilliant. I never would have thought of that.
You'll make a dragon friend yet.
We'll see.
It's more of a political cartoon than a painting when you, because everything's labeled. Anyway.
LaCroix, see that the carriage is strapped up, I want to say.
The carriage is strapped up?
Buckled in. You know when you put the horse and you attach it to the carriage.
What are you talking about?
Ready the carriage.
We need to go to the Ghost White Wood.
We ride for the Ghost Light Wood.
But of course. And he claps his hands twice. And some of his footmen scurry away. And at that point, you hear bells ringing. And he goes, a guest.
A what?
A guest? At our very door?
Yes.
Well, answer it, LaCroix.
Sorry. I've just been so busy arranging carriages, getting your vagrant all of the things that he likes.
The Pelican Hat coming
along. I made
along.
A sort of Airbnb.
The Pelican Hat, the finest haberdashers in all of Waterdeep. Are doing something different because I don't think that's what haberdashers do. Milliners was the thing I was thinking
of. No, milliners are wigs.
No,
milliners are hats.
Make hats. Wiggers make wigs.
Anyway, I'm on it.
Quit boasting and answer the door, LaCroix.
He does, and then...
So, is some of you going to go with him to the door?
Me.
Let's split.
Let's go to the door.
Yeah.
And as you go, he pulls a hand. He says, Half-Man, do not leave. There is still so much to tell you.
Wait, I wasn't clear on your
voice.
LaCroix
says that?
No.
Was that Smedley or LaCroix?
That was Smedley.
Okay, cool.
I was just trying out a voice.
So Filge and Bobby stay with Smedley and Baston and Banknote go to the door with LaCroix.
Okay, great. Baston and Banknote go up to the door and we'll start with you. So you quickly make your way upstairs and as you do, two footmen open the doors to the great hall and inside walks the figure of commander of the town watch, Percival Boggins.
Ah, Duke LaCroix, I have an edict to hand you.
No. Who is it? He's never seen Baston.
That's right. He's never seen
Baston.
He
doesn't know Bobby.
No, I'm in the... And Bobby
downstairs.
He just does recognize Lion Shield Banknote.
Yeah. Ha-ha! Boggins! We meet again. How did you escape that fire that we didn't start?
The fire, the death toll of which sadly rises by the... another 2 confirmed dead, your dukeness. There has been a mistake. I'm sorry. I am so happy to announce that I am unburdened of my responsibility to be the duke.
I just have a cause and effect question.
Okay.
Just say some of these people who died
had
kids.
No.
Okay, okay. Go. Move along. Sorry.
Just leaving that hate crime hanging in the air.
Boggins doesn't quite know what to do, and he hands LaCroix the edict.
But LaCroix is like, "There's this. I'm sorry, Percival. I have rescinded my duties. My charter is filled. This is your new lord." And he gestures to Baston.
Well, I don't have the coin on me, but my friends, I'm the boss.
I have taken a statement from a witness of the fire. Here. And he hands you the edict.
LaCroix, as the acting duke, I don't touch things.
Take my it. Dukiness, it's fine. I'll read it for you.
Ah, yes, banknote. My magician will do it.
I've never been so insulted in my life. Well, so I guess taking on that persona, he goes, ha 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 ha, please, look into my eyes as I read this. I'm so sorry, Percival. I'm truly sorry. Can you read this?
Of course I can.
What does it say? I can't. I mean, it's all the way over there. I can't read it. I have very poor eyesight, I've decided suddenly.
I didn't. It just. This says.
Why are you bullying this poor man?
It says here that you're under arrest. It says.
What?
This says that
I'm under arrest.
No.
You? Be clear, man.
It didn't even say that. It says he has the glimmering.
Yeah, it says arrest.
Can you read?
I'll tell you what. I spent too many semesters not going to class at university not to be able to read. I thought it
does.
Said arrest this man because he's got the glimmering.
Arrest the
bearer, arrest this man has glimmering.
Oh, right.
So what are you going to do?
Both things.
It's not my call. But Percival, do you know why that one? Do you know why the person who wrote this? Who wrote this note?
Oh well, of course it was a very regal lord who wrote that note, and I think he may have been
Lord William Ascot.
Confused. LaCroix. You know what? I think I should probably just take this and go.
Look. Why don't you come in? I'm sure there's some leftovers from lunch. There was a lovely cheese course and then a meat course.
Sure.
That's the kind of life we live in here.
Can I just... So Baston wouldn't know that it was Bobby in disguise who wrote the note.
No, he wouldn't.
So only Banknote would
only
know.
Only Banknote knows.
Yeah.
So you have just seen an edict that says, the bearer of this note has the glimmering and must
and
be arrested.
And it's written, you recognize, in Bobby Pancake's right. handwriting.
And I don't feel confident arresting someone without the coin.
Hearts.
So I'm like, come on in. I want to show you some new. We just set up a studio downstairs. You're going to love it.
I feel like this probably needs a check.
The Duke is... LaCroix, back me up here.
Yes.
Is or is not the Duke downstairs?
Yes, the Duke is going downstairs.
LaCroix wouldn't lie. He's French. Come on.
Yes, if that is your wish, I will.
And as you wander downstairs, we cut downstairs, and Smedley is hard at work, and he says, you see, just as in my dreams, every time I pass into that beautiful dream, I see them clear as day.
Tell us something new.
I feel like I've been giving you a lot of new information.
Really?
What?
How do you come into this dream? Is it normal sleep style or something else?
We're talking opium here? Or?
Yeah.
Poor Tom, any dreams? It's all roads lead to the glimmering dream.
Hmm.
If I pass out, I see such visions I could show you.
Show us.
You said there was so much to tell. Do tell.
Well, I'm painting.
Well, what's on the painting?
Look at it!
We look at the painting.
All right, we look at the painting again. Can I do it? I'm going to do an arcana check on the painting.
You're going to do an arcana check.
I'm going to do an investigation check.
Yeah.
Filge.
Yeah. Can I?
Yes, you can.
I'm checking for canners.
Yeah, all right. Make a... Yep. Make a little check. You rolled a 5.
Yeah.
Which becomes a 4. The painting is magical, and it shows you what your heart desires.
Oh, big burger! Good one.
Filge wants a big burger right after lunch.
Yeah, that fish soup was not filling. Needed more carbs.
Wait, is this real? It shows you her heart's desire?
No.
All right. Oh, okay.
Do your check.
Do your investigate.
That's a 15.
So he's got a 15 investigation on the...
Okay, you look at it and you see that the painting, as I said, white wood trees, a copse of white wood trees burning, a gate that seems to be locked, but another thing that you notice is that the paints and pigments have a kind of powerful opiate in them. These are the paints that he's requested, obviously, the ones that he's familiar with, and it seems like in strong enough quantities that they would induce a trance-like state.
Let's lick some paints, baby! We gotta get in the mind of the thing. I'll do it.
Wait. Before you do that, where did you send LaCroix to get these paints?
Where did LaCroix send out for these paints?
From the Perfumers, Tinctures and Pigments Guild.
Oh.
Ascot's Guild, which still operates in Waterdeep.
Wasn't there a carriage being readied for us to go to the wood, though?
There is, yeah. It's still being readied. And at that point, LaCroix arrives down and he's like, well, here is the Duke, as you requested, Mr. Baston, in your...
Dukes! I present Inspector Boggins. He's mad.
Is that a whisper or a stage whisper?
Yeah, but like I think it would meant to be a whisper, but it comes out as he's mad.
I drop to the floor.
As is your learned response to his presence.
No, because he'll recognize me as the rug.
You're also the Duke.
Yeah.
You keep forgetting you're the Duke.
Hey, Boggins, meet your new flatmate, Smedley. You guys, I like usher him in. I pull Filge out. I grab one of the paintings. We're going to the woods.
Which one of the paintings?
The one that he's working
Do
on.
Do we want the paint though?
Well, it's on the painting.
Okay, great.
No, we're just going to go into the forest and lick a painting.
We want him to keep painting.
Yeah, we want him to keep painting, and we want to go to the woods.
Okay, I'm just going
to
grab a tube of paint then.
Okay, you grab a tube of paint.
Yeah, it's, me and Bobby getting into the forest to lick paint.
And Boggins.
Wait, not both of us should lick it. One of us should just have something else. Just to.
A controlled substance?
Yeah.
Bags not.
I'll lick the paint.
Oh.
And Boggins is like, well, why have you. You're going now?
Hey, you're an inspector, right?
Yeah.
Try and get as much information out of this guy as possible. We'll be back shortly.
And you head off to.
Yeah.
All right. So, are you all going?
Waterboarding's fine. I heard it's not really torture. Anyway. My friend Dick Cheney told me that. After he shot me in the face while we were hunting. Hello. I'm a joke from probably 2006.
Yeah, between the prestige gear and your Dick Cheney gear, this is real so fresh summer of 2006.
All right, so.
We take the carriage. We all go in the carriage.
Everyone's coming.
Yeah.
All right, so you head off into the carriage, and the night is starting to get dark, and you are all heading to the ghost.
It's night time.
Well, as I said, it's a few hours ride out of Daggerford, so it'll be night. Start to get night time by the time you get to the ghost.
Yeah, let's do it.
What's the on this map?
We need a scale, Dave.
You
didn't put a scale on the map.
I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah, you're doing good.
You make your way to the Ghostlight Wood. Everybody just leaves Boggins in the house with LaCroix.
No, we lock him in the cage. I mean,
what?
Obviously.
Yeah, it's a nice cage.
We locked him in the nice cage.
What does he do?
Oh.
They're probably chatting.
Yeah.
He just said, oh.
So you just kept quietly walk out, lock the doors, and head upstairs. Mm-hmm.
I clearly said I pushed him in there and shut the door behind.
You did say that, yeah. And Boggins is there and he's kind of trying to make conversation. He's like, have you read any good books lately? Because I certainly have done that with the ability that I possess to do so.
Okay, and clatter, 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 and as I said, night begins to fall, and soon you find yourself riding into the Ghostlight Wood. What was once a mighty woods, but through sustained forestry, is now shrinking into a kind of small decorative woods, just by the small outpost of vantage overlooking the lizard marshes at the very outskirts of your territory as the Duke of Daggerford, and is, as I said, it's a small woods of primarily white wood. And soon the trail ends and you will need to disembark from your carriage. And the route in the night is getting quite dark indeed.
All right, let's unhitch the horses and take them with us, though, I think.
Oh.
It's the white wood grows quite tight, so you won't be able to ride a horse into it.
Thatchy kind
then
of...
Then maybe let's tie up the carriage so the horses don't bolt.
We've got a driver, right?
Yeah, you do.
Oh,
yeah.
What's his name?
Buttons
or her name?
No, didn't we send him to...
No, you said Buttons Lee.
Oh, we sent Buttons Lee.
This is Buttons Worth.
Cool.
Hello!
You're a likely lad.
I'm 9 years old.
But I can tell you're good with horses. Just hang here for a while. We'll...
Will do.
All right, well, let's... So we're looking for a stone gate. Yes?
Look, We got to lick this paint. We got to get in the mindset of the artist. We got to do it. I'm going to do it.
Should I do it? Because I feel like he's been telling me that I'm the one who has the connection. He keeps talking about... Look, he's clearly talked about, like, Casilda. He's talked about the connection across the plains, Carcosa.
All right.
Look, I'm under no...
Sometimes you got to eat some paint. or as Simon likes to think of it, wall candy.
Fortunately, I carry a toothbrush around with me, and so I put a dribble of paint on the toothbrush, and I just start. Yes.
I would. Before you ingest that paint that is undoubtedly quite poisonous, as a sort of alchemist type, would you like me to do a little bit of a check on it just to see if it's going to kill you?
Hey, dude, I died in space already.
And with that, you just chow down.
I'm going to brush my teeth with the paint.
He brushes it on.
All right. Excellent.
Okay.
Get up in those gums.
Bobby, as I said, as the night begins dark, you take a torch that was hanging on the side and you find a small clearing in the woods. At that point, Bobby pulls out the tube, puts it on a toothbrush, and then eats it.
I brush it. I massage it into my teeth and gums with the toothbrush.
Yes.
Bobby...
The famously bioabsorbent teeth.
The gums, though.
No, the gums, very much so.
Bobby, your vision shrinks. The edges of your vision, the darkness at the edges of your vision grow and grow as your vision shrinks down to a pinpoint.
Okay, so he still could be dying, so don't get excited now. And then you catastrophically shit your pants.
But also you slump into...
Fish soup!
...into a cross-legged posture. And Bobby seems, as I said, he looks down into his chest, and suddenly his head jolts upright and his mouth opens and he speaks with a voice that is not his own.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
And he says, "My friends, children of the Dark Lady, tonight we begin our great work. Last night I entered the glimmering dream, and she, in her mercy, showed me the way. Again, I walked down the hill and along that rocky shore, and I saw the Lover's Gate, but the lock was broken through, and she was so proud of us, my friends. And I was shown the second gate. It is our next trial, but we shall not let our lady down, for tonight the Whitewood copse will burn and we will provide the means to open her second gate. And when that burning gate is open, but 5 gates will remain, locking us away from the moment of convergence when the city returns. But this time, when it returns, we shall bind it to this world, and this time her will be done. But perhaps, my friends, I speak too freely," and Bobby tilts his head, "for there is a quality here. I sense it. Uncertainty, fear, a stranger, a soul perhaps not of our order who glares in from the outside. Could it be Smedley? How did you find your way back here, friend? Be careful what doors you open. You never know what might come crawling through." And at that point, Bobby, your head snaps back and you vomit all over yourself, a dark and Icarus bile that pours down over your shirt. And he starts to vomit compulsively.
"You're ruining your shirt!"
You snap back at that moment to consciousness. and the vial sort of falls down you into a puddle on the ground.
So gross.
And in that moment, you realize that you saw something. You were taken to a dark room, a basement, where you saw a figure of 12 figures in hoods standing around a central figure in a white robe. You couldn't see their face.
Pancakes! That voice! Whose voice was it?
I don't know. But we have to stop.
And at that moment, you realize that the bile on the ground is growing and forming into a figure.
Oh.
Kill it!
Yeah, get out. I ready my maul.
What? No, what do you mean kill it? We just met it. We can't...
It's as large as Serpentine and Lithe, and it forms into the figure of a Bodak, and at that moment it attacks you, and we go into initiative order, which we already have. So, Banknote, you go first. So as I said, this is kind of a dark... This is a dark, toxic figure. It has a sort of death mask on it, and it's covered in dripping ichor.
And it's like snake-shaped?
It's serpentine, but it's humanoid.
So you would say that even though it is kind of a made out of goo and kind of
it is
different to Flubber.
It is both Flubber-esque,
uh-huh,
and yet it is somehow more sinister.
Sure.
Is this like a Flubber snake centaur?
It's a lithe serpentine figure that looks like a human with a death mask, and it's made out of goo. And at that point, because you're all talking so much, it attacks. Now, what are you going to do?
Dave, I've been waiting for this for 3 fucking episodes. Iron Shield Banknote pulls out his very canonical antimatter rifle.
Yes! Handy!
Oh, I'm just going to take a handful of dice, Dave.
Now, talk us through how you managed to get this, because...
No, he got it because I told him he could take any items from D&D Beyond.
Well, that's on fucking you!
Make for me an attack roll... I'm going to even be generous and say that you have proficiency in anti-matter rifles. So it's the armor class of 15. I do it here.
Oh, yeah, that's what he looks like.
That's a 10 and a 6, so that's 16.
Why are you rolling 2 dice?
Because I wanted to. It's an anti-matter rifle.
So alright, you're emptying the clip.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to...
All right, that gives you advantage. So, a 16 beats it, and the Bodak takes 8d6 worth of damage.
Yes!
8! That's so many!
All right, so it's 5, 3 is 8, plus 6 is 14, yep. Plus 2 is 16, plus 4 is 20, plus 6 is 26 damage.
All right, so it's not dead, but it reels back as you fire at it with
I've
an incredible...
Sorry.
Oh, yep.
5 and 3 is 8, so it's 34.
It reels back in pain, but it is not dead as you fire your incredibly anachronistic rifle at it. And the next...
I want to slash the shit out of my sword. Bam! What's its armor class?
15. You miss.
No, I hit with 1.
You rolled a 10. What is...
Yeah, I got plus 8. Fool! I got a magical longsword, bitch! Out my way! 10 damage. Slash. Don't forget I got 4 attacks. Here I come again. Boom, 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 boom. Hit with one of those. Another 7 damage.
All right.
Slash.
50 up. 51. All right, great. Bobby Pancakes, you're up next. You have disadvantage because you're poisoned and ill, but you're still here.
Okay. I'm going to use my Moontouch sword. It's a short sword.
Have you drawn this sword yet?
No. So you found this like 2 seasons ago.
You found this sword last season, the beginning of the last season. So you pull it up and you've become attuned to it over the time that you've held it, but you've never drawn it to this point. At this point, you realize it is a +2 short sword, but it is also Moontouched. And that means that as an action, you can make the moon's light shine from it.
Okay, I'll do that.
For romance.
So you are a werewolf. You are a lycanthrope.
Yeah.
All right, so you...
Hey!
In darkness. All right. You make it. You can attack with it this turn, but next turn you will turn into Robert Pancakes, your werewolf alter ego.
Okay, yep. So that's
15.
It's a 1.
Uno.
It's a 1. Spicy you drop the sword, but already the transformation is taking place. Okay. Next up is you, Filch.
I am furious that he made that slippery little sucker made my friend vomit.
Okay. Are you going into a rage?
Yes, I am.
All right. Congratulations. With advantage. 2 attacks.
Great. And I'm going to use my vicious flail.
Yep. Oh, that's a critical? That's double damage?
I forget what to do. Are you going to roll that for me?
Do you want me to?
Yes.
Okay. So that is...
Oh, my favorite. Oh, 1d8 plus 4.
No, yeah, one. So that's going to become 2d8 plus 8. So you do, oh, okay, you do 14, nice. You do 22 points of damage.
Hachi machi, that goo boy's looking sad.
Let's point out that that is almost as much as Hing did with a rifle that he bullied me into giving him. The Bodak attacks next, and it looks at you, Baston, with his withering gaze. Make for me quickly a DC 13 constitution saving throw.
Stop looking at me like that. I fail the test. You take roll a 4.
4d10.
No, I don't want it. Stop. It's my body.
Necrotic.
Stop it.
Damage. So you take 5, 13, 22. You take 32 points of damage.
Ouchie. Wouchie.
And then it slashes at you, Filge, with its melee attack, plus 5 to hit. And what's your armor class? Because it rolls a 16.
14.
So that's going to hit you as well, and it hits you for 8 points of damage. Okay, it's quickly. It's up to you against Magnite.
I am going...
Your rifle is now out of ammunition because you emptied it in the last round.
But perhaps forever.
No. To be honest, Hing, you can reload it if you remembered it D&D Beyond to get ammunition for that rifle.
I have a bag of 1,000 ball bearings. Can I just jam them into it?
Why don't you try?
Ball bearings, antimatter, what's the difference?
Right, you forgot to get ammo, didn't you?
Yes.
It's out of ammunition.
Fuck. Okay. Well, that'll be another quest for another day. How sickly looking is the...
It's getting quite damaged.
I am going to then run at it with wearing the glove I still have.
Yep.
And I'm going to try and grasp its neck and then shock it.
Great. Strike and grasp.
So that is a 9 plus 5 is 14.
14, it misses.
Dang it.
And the next up is you, Baston.
Okay, I'm slashing at it with my longsword of Baston and Drew.
Hits.
One of them hits. Does 10 damage. And then with my slashy scimitar of speed, 2 hits. And then it does 17.
Okay, and bearing the name sword of Sergei Indrirovich, Barovian-born Baston flenses the Bodak into pieces. The Ica falls to the ground, the grass corroded as it collapses back into goo, and the way is clear again. And you, again, for you, Friezo, that is a milestone.
No.
Sorry, for you, Lion Shield, that is a milestone that will get you to level 3.
Oh, they're just giving away levels now. Good work.
So
am I a werewolf now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I suppose you are now for the rest of the night, Robert Pancakes, werewolf, and jazz aficionado.
Oh man, I threw up on myself.
Like, what? One of you was a werewolf the whole time? What the? Who are you people? What's going on here?
And now you can see further into the woods what seems to be figures in the distance.
My keen smell leads me to believe there's figures in the distance.
You do have keen assistant spells, so make for me quickly a perception check. You also, Pancakes, with your increased smell, you smell that there are 4 humanoid figures just beyond this copse of woods. Copse?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Cope?
No. Copse. You were so, back yourself. Yeah, you were right.
Yeah. Copes?
Come on,
no.
Dave.
Copse.
Dave, believe in yourself. What, do we ever doubt you?
Yeah. Where you got all this self-negativity from?
And beyond that copse of woods, you can smell that there are 4 figures.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe 40 feet away.
Let's sneak up on them.
Yeah. Let's surround them. And I sort of motion for the crew to sort of circle around. Like, those two go on that around to the left, and Baston and I will go to the right.
Yeah. Pincer movement.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody who's being part of this, who's sneaking into vision, make for me a stealth check. Tell me if anybody gets underneath 13.
Nope. I got a 6.
Oh, no, it's 13 plus 2. It's 15. I'm good.
Okay, cool. And I will actually give you advantage because Bobby has already told you that there's something there.
Ooh, right. Yeah.
18. So you're fine. You all sneak through the tree line, and you can see four figures, and they're standing at a crude altar of stones and wood that they have assembled, and you see that they are pulling out of barrels and crates these four figures in dark robes with hoods covering their faces, rows and rows of small tall bottles with a green tarry fluid in them that you recognize as alchemist's fire.
And are they like the dudes from the dream that I didn't see?
Well, that's an interesting question, Baston.
But Bobby Pancakes, you recognize these are figures that are dressed similarly to the dream that you saw. But all of you recognize that in the chest of their robes, they have an embroidered knot with 9 points, a gnarled knot that you have seen again and again and again. And they are putting these vials, they're not opening them, but they are placing clusters of these small vials at the foot of large white tree oaks that are all around.
And how well lit is it?
One of them is holding a torch.
It's only one of them. So when they put the alchemist's fire and then go to the next spot, that area is shrouded in darkness?
That's correct, but they've already seeded about 12 trees.
Would you call it a dragon huddle? Can we do one of those?
I think we're all...
It's just a huddle, but fine.
Okay, then.
You have to earn a dragon huddle.
just a quick huddle. Do we think that we want to set fire to this or not?
We don't.
We need to.
This will open the gate.
Yeah, it's like a connection.
Wait, so no fire? No, we're sure on
fire,
no fire.
Fire bad.
We're just going like.
Okay, because at level 3, I do get something called a flamethrower turret.
No.
You get a flamethrower turret?
Dude, it's fucking real, yeah. I get to pick a turret, an arcane turret. I can have either a flamethrower one, a force ballista, or a defender, like a little minion to some.
Oh, like a little ambulatory, like in Team Fortress. You have like a little turret gun.
Yeah, and I guess I would name...
Like a Roomba.
Yeah. Yeah, and this time, Dave, my minion is going to respect me.
All right, so while you've been walking, ignoring you, out of a small pouch, Banknote has been assembling things out of a sort of crude metallic Meccano set, and he constructs a little thing, and while you're talking, he takes a small jeweler's wrench and he tightens a lug nut, and two bejeweled sapphire eyes blink open, and Eden, why don't you play his new familiar?
Why am I here? Oh God, the pain of living.
Hey, I don't know if this is too... I've got a name for the thing I just thought of.
Oh, yeah?
What do you guys reckon of Bushu D2?
Does that change the voice?
Bushu D2. No, why am I here? The pain of living.
Hello there. I made you out of twigs and also a Meccano set.
But what? Why would you give life to this hideous form? What is my possible purpose?
Well, whatever you do, don't set fire to those things over there.
But my hands are on fire. I appear to be a moving, flame-throwing Roomba of some kind.
You're new to this world. You'll need to learn to control your powers. So just go set fire to those ones over there, not this stuff. Go over that way and set fire to that stuff over there.
No, what are you pointing
fire.
At?
No fire.
Away from the vials.
Why would you create him to do nothing?
I'm just, because maybe it'll be a distraction. Maybe they'll run towards the fire. They're going to know that fire's dangerous. They'll be like, oh, it's happening. We'll go over there to check that out. And while they're doing that,
they'll run towards the fire.
Great. So Bushu D2 scurries off into the forest. What are the rest of you going to do?
Bobby, Robert's going to start in the shadows grabbing the alchemist's
fire.
Make
for me a stealth check.
Yeah, me too. Big enough. Stealthier.
All right, great.
I got pretty good. Do I still have the same sort of stealth that I have?
No. So you both start, you clean up half the trees each. You clean up three trees each.
I'm going to bamf up to one of the hooded figures and slit their throat. Both of them? Yeah.
Gotta get below 96.
It's 42. 42. So you bamf up in front, behind the figures.
I wonder real quiet.
Who? Thump. Make for me an attack with advantage.
Yay.
Ah,
that's a critical hit.
Critical.
You roll hits a 27.
Nice.
As you gather up as many of the small vials as you can, and you put about 10 vials each in your pockets, Filge holds onto this small amulet of the Black Stull, bamps up behind one of the four cultists, and then incredibly violently slits his throat and he falls to the ground. The other three have not noticed yet, but they will notice very soon. So you
can I put on his hood?
Absolutely.
Great.
So you scurry into the clothes.
Yeah.
You pull the outfit off and you recognize a face that you've seen already. It is the face of Eddie Wick, one of the two sergeants that was working for Percival Boggins, the head of the watch.
Whoa. Yeah.
The other three have not noticed you. You have a second more act if you want. And I've been very generous because you have stripped a corpse and put its robe on.
It's very tight. It's like a fucking Michael Hickman Asian t-shirt. It's just
very snug.
I'm just gonna go up to Eddie and go, gimme.
He's dead on the ground.
You killed him.
Yeah.
He's oh, Eddie's dead.
Yeah. You slit his throat.
Oh, so well, I'm gonna go up to one of the other guys.
You slit his throat.
Yeah. Why not? I was going to talk to him, but that's a much better idea.
Make another attack.
Do I get advantage on this one as well?
Yes, he hasn't seen you. Oh.
Oh.
That's advantage with a 9. Your attack bonus is plus you don't... okay, so it's not your magic flail, so it's only plus 5. 14 is enough because they're not wearing armor. So you get behind him and he screams in pain. He's not dead, but arterial blood gushes from his neck and the three of them spin around and we go into combat, I guess.
You.
So again, you're the first one up.
How many people are left? Just one guy.
Just three, but one of them is half dead.
All right. Banknote is going to do a running charge and try and shocking grasp one of these dudes again.
Great, make an attack.
So that is it's a 4. Nope.
Best on.
So there's two guys. Can I?
It's three guys and one's spouting arterial blood.
How many
blood.
Do you think I could kill in a round?
Show me.
Okay.
Spinning bird.
So yeah,
kick.
I'm just gonna go in. I'm gonna kill. Are they too close together?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm gonna attack them both at the same time.
Great.
One with each hand. Okay. So I'll attack one guy first. Neither of those hit. Wait. What's their armor class?
Only 12.
Yeah. Fucking hit with both. Losers. Pew pew. I do 12 damage to one, and the other guy, I come in with my other hand, I hit with both, and a 20, 20 full, 20, 10, yeah, thank you, come on, guys.
Which is double.
Yeah, so I do 10, I do 14.
You decapitate one of the cultists, the other one is in incredible pain, two of them are now very wounded, and at that point a werewolf bursts through the trees.
Yep, so I'm going to do a dual attack, a biting attack and a claw attack.
Sneak attack as well, because they haven't seen you yet.
So was that with them?
20!
Oh, it's a 20, alright.
Don't even roll. Robert Pancakes dives through the tree line, ripping one of their necks open. Only one of them is left alive, and he turns around and screams in pain, and he says, "It is the will of the lady. We will not be forgotten," and he stabs, slashes at you, Banknote, but misses, and it's Banknote. It's your turn.
He's quite injured, right?
Yes.
I think I'm... Well, because I'm good. And he's suffering, Dave.
Who do you think is watching?
Probably Dave, I imagine. Stupid snitch, Dave. And Banknote is going to just peer over him and look into his eyes and be like, "Sleep now." And then freeze ray his eyes. You know what I mean?
I thought you were...
You know,
when you said
like,
sleep now, I thought you were going to cost
now.
The non-violent spell sleep. But you're going to cost...
Is
you're
going to
cast
option?
The cold damage violent spell...
Heck of a way to go, I reckon.
I mean, Ray of Frost.
Yeah, cast Ray of Frost. Just cast look, it.
Imagine the last thing you see before you die is just some cool shades. That's a 17.
All right, so you
hit.
Say, yep, all right, let me, I'll roll it for you. You say,
zap.
Sleep now, and he looks intensely into the eyes of the cultist, and his sunglasses suddenly flip their pneumatic shields, and then a burst of undistilled necrotic frost goes through his eyeballs, which instantly harden, freeze, and shatter in his eyes, shards entering his brain, and he screams for his mother as his last thought is one of pure, unbridled terror, as his world is no more. And at that point, you have killed the last of the cultists before they could ignite the alchemist's fire at the base of the trees. Congratulations.
Yes!
Save the world, save the world.
Point of order, Dave. A cultist, that's probably more than a commoner, I imagine.
That is correct.
XP.
No, that's correct. They're 100 XP each, so that is enough to get you to level 4.
No, I have 200 more to go.
Oh, sorry, you're right.
I'm only four sixths of the way there.
Yeah, yes.
He's also got to split that XP four ways. You know, he gets 100 from that.
Yeah, you're right.
Who the fuck would do that yourself?
It is on.
I spent a long time getting to level 7, right? You're not going to waltz in here and just boom, level 4 in one session.
Look, I just want you to know, it is in your best interest for me to be more powerful.
Don't tell me.
At this point, while you are arguing, Bushu D2 scuttles in and he goes, I have performed my primary function. And behind him you look and you see a fire burning through the white wood trees that you have created as a diversion. And at that moment, in a moment of beautiful clarity, Robert Pancakes, you pull from a backpack the portrait that you had taken from the dungeons of Castle Daggerford, and you all, by the light of the burning whitewood, glare at the portrait, and though half finished, you can see with a terrible clarity that a change has already been wrought somehow on this painting, for what was once a closed and barred and locked gate is now open with burning whitewood trees all around it. For the second of 7 gates have been opened in 5 days, the Dark Lady shall rise, and on the side of the celestial convergence, a dark and terrible future that shall rip this world asunder will again be made manifest, and the dragon friends have little in their way, their willing, or indeed, let's be honest, their ability to stop such a dark and terrible future, for this is their prophecy, this is their skill set, they are bad at their jobs. To find out what happens next, tune in to the next episode of Dragon Friends. Thank you.
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Eden Lacey, Simon Griner, and me, Michael Hing. Their Dungeon Master is Dave Dungeon Dave Harmon, with voices from a man with at least 3 voices, Ben Jenkins. Tom Carty does our music, Shakira Khan designs our website, and this episode was recorded at the Giant Dwarf Theatre in Redfern, Australia, and is edited, mixed, and fixed by Hugh Guest. See you next time. Bye!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.